In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we are back again with tips that can change your life. We're actually doing part three because it's because I talk too much and it's taken us forever to get through parts one and two.
Dave, yeah. I talk too much.
So we are here with part three, and we're going to give you more tips that can change your life. And as usual, we're giving away other free stuff, including a free hypnosis guide and a lot of news to catch up on regarding the hypnosis class and my book. Stay tuned. We will be right there.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David R. Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist, and we are back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Dave, where are you?
I'm in the Podcast Detroit Southfield Studios. That's where I am.
Oh, so am I.
Yeah, it's
welcome
crazy.
Back.
Matt just filled me up, as a matter of fact, for those of you on Facebook Live.
There you
cheers,
go.
Brother.
Cheers.
There we go.
Clink.
What are we enjoying?
Rittenhouse Rye.
Rittenhouse. All right.
100 proof, bottled in bond.
Good stuff. Did you guys review that on Man Cave?
We did.
Nice. Plug for Man Cave, happy hour. If you've not seen or listened to that podcast, check that out.
It's a couple of middle-aged guys with a few microphones and just drinking.
Drinking and talking about man stuff like whiskey and cigars.
Whiskey,
and
bourbon. Yeah. We actually talk about all spirits.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
All
you've covered a lot of them.
Yep. We really have. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite gins, and I have to share because gin is called Highclere Castle Gin.
Mm-hmm.
And they distill it in Highclere Castle on the estate where
really?
They filmed Downton Abbey.
Oh.
Right? Where the second movie I think it's still being filmed or is wrapping up filming their second one. But yeah, all the botanicals come from the estate of Highclere Castle.
Wow.
And Lord and Lady Carnarvon, who live still in the
Lord
castle.
And Lady.
They do some amazing work themselves. They actually do tastings, online virtual tastings themselves. So yeah. But
awesome.
We just learned so much about the distillates and the different companies from the diplomats and the distillers. And
so a tangent because I'm interested in things like this. So explain to me, in layman's terms, whiskey, bourbon, scotch.
Okay.
So those three terms, and just in a nutshell, pare them down.
Pare them down?
Yeah.
It all depends how they distill them themselves.
Okay, that's what makes the difference.
That makes the difference because whiskey has a certain mash bill, bourbon has certain mash bills, right? And then the last one that you said was scotch. Mm-hmm. That is there's more to it, and it's probably aged longer and how it's, there's so many.
That's why scotch is kind of considered the snobbery type.
It is an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Because when a lot of folks, when they have scotch, they automatically smell saddle leather, right? And it smells like a leather.
Smoky.
It's smoky, and it tastes like a leather-bound book.
Right.
Right?
Yes. leather-bound book.
What about leather-bound books?
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books.
There we go.
And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Everything depends on how it's created, what goes into it, and the mash bills themselves, and how long it's aged. There's so much that goes into it, and that's why we started the Man Cave Happy
Hour. That's awesome. So if that interests any of you, check out Man Cave Happy Hour with Matt and Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt, and by the way, that is Matt Fox. He's with me here in the Podcast Detroit Southfield Studios.
I ain't going anywhere.
I know. let me tell you, folks, where you can find me. My website is MotorCityHypnotist.com. On the website, you'll find all the stuff you find on any website. Well, not any website, within reason, of course. it's crazy.
oh, great Odin's Raven.
So a lot of stuff, not everything.
www.doesthislookinfectedtoyou.com.
Yeah.
Not that website.
Yeah. So yeah, check it out. All the podcast episodes going all the way back to number one is on the website, so you can check that out. And I'm revamping that page as well. So take a look. It should be eventually a little bit more user-friendly.
All right.
My social medias, Facebook and YouTube, both are Motor City Hypnotist. And on Twitter and Instagram, which are both Motor City Hypno.
That's H-Y-P-N-O.
H-Y-P-N-O. And as usual, I always give away a free hypnosis guide on every episode. Just to maybe you're a first-time listener. Maybe you don't know really what hypnosis is or how it works or what it does. Or, you know, you're just interested. That link is always in the show notes. So click there. Download that free hypnosis guide. It's a PDF. Just walking you through kind of what hypnosis is, what it's not, some myths and misconceptions, and why it works.
Awesome.
So check that out. The most important thing probably is wherever you're listening, whatever podcast platform you happen to have on your phone or device or your computer or, you know, toaster or your refrigerator, wherever it is, wherever you're listening, either subscribe or like or connect or accept or one of those words that shows that you like this show.
Did you know that you could say, "Hey, Alexa, play Motor City Hypnotist Podcast"? And
yes,
it'll pop up.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also do that with I'm going to show my stupidity here because I have an Alexa in my office. Mm-hmm. It's same as Echo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Because you can use Echo or Alexa.
Correct.
I change mine to computer.
That is brilliant.
Yes.
Computer.
I do that. Yep.
Hey, computer.
Computer. Lights on. Computer. And I have it set up where I say, "Computer, good night." And it'll shut down my whole office when I leave.
Dave, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you watch Star Trek?
I do.
All right. Also, there it is.
Hello, computer. Scotty with the
yes.
mouse.
Yes. Hello, computer.
Hello, computer. Sorry. Sorry, folks out there are not getting our Star Trek geekery right now. But
that was the Voyage Home, I think.
Yes, it was. It was Voyage Home when they had to go get the plexiglass for the whale.
Correct.
The whale cage.
God, that was the worst one of them all.
Oh, no. Sorry. Okay, Star Trek tangent. Undiscovered Country 5.
Oh.
That was terrible. Or was it 6? I don't remember.
Neither do I. I just know I was like, whales? Really?
That was kind of funny, though. That was more of a comedy.
Kind of.
A lot of good stuff.
Well, doubled up ass to you.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't be using these colorful metaphors. Yes. Wherever you're listening, subscribe, connect, add, like, whatever it is, and please leave a review. That would help as well. That would be awesome.
Yes.
So this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast is brought to you by the Motor City Hypnosis Academy. Earn your hypnosis certification in my live training happening here in Detroit, the Detroit area, August 26th to the 30th, 2021. That is a month or so from now. This class will teach you from the very beginning how to do hypnosis. The great thing is no prior experience is required.
Mm.
You don't have to have any type of degree in mental health. You could be a plumber and you can come to this training and be a certified hypnotist when you leave. You could be, maybe you already have a degree in mental health. Maybe you have a degree in social work or psych or counseling. And you just want to add this to your repertoire as a therapist. This is for you as well. But again, no experience necessary. You don't have to add any prior experience or degrees. But if you do and you want to learn it, you can be certified as well. So you will leave after 5 days as a certified hypnotist and you can start your new career, a side hustle, or just, you know, you want to have fun with friends and family.
Right.
And strangers.
You said you could be a plumber and do this. And all of a sudden, my mind went to some guy, you know, in someone's home saying, "You don't need to have your drains snaked."
your drains are not plugged.
That's just
it's quite pungent. It stings the nostrils.
That's just where my brain
went. Your bathroom
went.
Does not smell. There are no feces on your floor.
Oh, my gosh. But it would actually help. Do not use flushable wipes. That would help. See?
That would help. I'm no plumber, but, you know.
That I know.
Yeah. I know you're not supposed to. So anyway, come to the training, learn how to be a hypnotist, and you too can wave some magic fingers and make things. Not really.
That's not hypnotism.
That's not how it works. Yeah. But I'm saying.
You use hypnotism to help.
I do. To help people. Yeah. Stop smoking.
Yeah.
Lose weight. Anxiety. We're watching the Olympics. And here's the thing I want to stress. I see a lot of people, a lot of athletes, college, high school, who have sports performance
Anxiety. Oh, wow.
Especially, and if you look at the Olympics, and again, we go back to, I know we mentioned Simone Biles our last episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? Maybe it was stress related. Maybe it was anxiety. Who knows what was happening? But you see a lot of people when they get to that level, and this happens with professionals as well. I'm not even saying these, but a lot of these kids are like 15, 16, 17,
yeah,
18 years old.
That's a lot of pressure at that age.
You're in front of the world having to fight for a gold medal and right. be at your peak performance. And just think of the stress and anxiety. So I do a lot of work with athletes in the area. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I've done a lot of work with figure skaters and also, oddly enough, a lot of like team sports positions like volleyball.
Really?
Yeah. People who are just need more confidence. And here's the thing. A lot of these athletes, they've done this thing 1,000 times perfectly in
right.
practice.
The muscle memory.
Soon as that light flicks on and it's for real, mm-hmm. something in your brain disconnects wow. and it becomes mental.
Huh.
Because you know physically they can do it.
Right.
They've done it 1,000 times. It's the mental part that lacks.
Wow.
So anyway, if you want to help people like that, just gain their confidence and help them as far as their performance in sports, this class will help you do that. Mm. So all the information on that will be in the show notes.
Awesome.
And that will make you a winner. So speaking of...
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
That's how winning is done.
Dave, before you dive into this,
yes.
typically we only get two doses of winners of the week.
Mm-hmm.
We're blessed with a third winner of the week.
We are. For those of you listening today. To audio, that might not make sense, but we're recording three sessions in a row,
yeah.
three episodes in a row.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Matt gets three winners of the week tonight.
I am going to sleep so well. So, go
you
on.
You are. That means I bored him into sleep. Or I just said,
stop it.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Yeah, they are, actually.
Okay, this one is just a cool story. I'm just going to read I know typically I try not to ruin the punchline, but there is no punchline here.
All right.
Little boy finds sweet friendship with 99-year-old woman over the fence during lockdown.
Perfect.
That's the headline. There's an old saying that goes, good fences make good neighbors. With so many folks forced to stay at home during the pandemic, some are happy to report that good fences can also make good friends.
Mm-hmm.
In Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Olson family lives next door to 99-year-old Mary O'Neill. Although Mary has an adult daughter in the area who visits once a week, with the rest of her relatives scattered for the most part, the pandemic left the soon-to-be centenarian in seclusion.
Yes.
I mean, think about that. You're 99 years old.
And you can't leave.
And you can't leave, and you can't have people. It's just sad right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
But as lockdown wore on, Mary managed to forge a special friendship with one of her neighbors, Benjamin Olson, who is 2 years old.
Two
years old.
That's a 97-year difference.
Yes.
I love this.
Over time, Mary watched through the chain link fence as Benjamin learned to walk, talk, and eventually run and play. Despite the huge differences in their ages, Benjamin was drawn to his elderly neighbor, delighting in her presence. Between the two, they developed a game they could play over the fence. Ben would pass her a ball, and she'd hit it back to him with her cane. It might be called cane ball. Maybe that's a new sport.
Wiffle cane.
Speaking
ball.
Of sports performance enhancement, maybe I can spend some time with... with Mary O'Neill in her cane. While others might remark that a 97-year gap between the two pals, when Ben sees Mary, he simply sees a friend and not a number.
I love it.
She's just Mary, or in the past couple of days, he's been calling her Mimi. We'll be playing inside, and he'll go, Mimi, Mimi, and we'll go outside, and he'll look for her, Benjamin Mom's Sarah Olson told CBS News.
Mm-hmm.
She'll call out, hey, Benjamin, when she sees him, and it's just been so cute to watch.
That's awesome.
As pandemic restrictions have lifted, Mary and Benjamin's bond continues to blossom on both sides of the fence. Benjamin joins Mary on her back steps to play games, blow bubbles, and enjoy the activities that bring joy to both the young and old at heart.
That's great.
In August, when Mary celebrates her 100th birthday.
In August. So no matter when you're listening,
yep.
however, whatever,
yep.
it is the end of July right now.
Yes, yes.
So within a couple of days.
Couple here. Of days yeah. or maybe within 30 days, it's her
yeah.
birthday.
Yeah.
When Mary celebrates her 100th birthday, it's a good bet Benjamin and his family will be there to help her blow out the candles and make a wish. So just that's a cool story.
That
just
is
an
a very
awesome,
cool story.
Awesome story.
Yeah. Mimi.
It wasn't like Bilbo's 111th birthday, but Mimi's close.
She's getting there.
She's going to do her 100th.
So she's not feeling like a pat of butter spread over a long piece of
right?
toast.
So to Mary O'Neill or Mimi as Benjamin. Benjamin calls her. Benjamin's the kid.
Little Benjamin.
To Benjamin Olson and Mimi Mary O'Neill. Yeah, great story. Winners of the week for sure.
Thank you.
How winning is done.
You know, we all start out with young friendships, and as we get older, you know, how do I put this? Our mental state goes back to when we were kids. So
right.
I love the fact that, you know, she's able to still have a friendship with a infant toddler.
Yeah.
Because, and I hate to say that, but they're almost in that same mental arena.
Right,
almost.
It's kind of like they can connect and relate in some way.
And not all elderly people are alike.
No,
that,
no.
But sometimes
again,
it happens.
But the other thing that's great is she's 99 and still aware enough to interact and have conversations and be lucid.
Yes.
And aware. That's awesome.
Love
so
it.
We're talking, folks, about tips
to change your life.
To change your life.
Yay.
And we are on number five, or number six. We're on
number six,
because we finished five. And if you haven't listened to episodes one and two, because this is part three, because we spent a lot of times on these, because they're important, because they these are things that can really help you.
And I want you to get through the next four, six, seven, eight,
and
nine,
we'll get
10.
It. Yep.
You take your time.
I will do that. So we're up to number six. This one is... don't let challenges derail you.
Okay.
Now, we know, here's a common thing that I get when I see clients.
Okay.
Clients come in, they're overwhelmed, and I'll just paraphrase a general response that somebody might, or something they might say to me. You know, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm busy at work. My kids are all over the place. My you know, I'm trying to take care of the household chores. And you know, my husband's stressed out at his job. And, you know, we have my mother's been sick and I have to take care of her once a week.
Welcome to life.
Well, that's my point, Matt. And it's funny that you say it like that, because that is what life is.
Mm-hmm.
Life is a series of events and challenges that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of people think, well, once, and here's the other thing that people kind of get into the habit, and it's not a good one, but I understand why it happens. They will say, oh, you know, as soon as everything settles down, I'll be okay. But it never settles down. That's the point. Nothing will ever settle down.
No. I don't know what we're yelling about.
Honestly.
Because that's what life is.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes to the whole theme of our show is change your thinking, change your life. If you believe that your life is constantly chaos, that is how you're going to respond to it.
Yes.
If you believe that it's just things that happen that you have to deal with and that you're able to deal with,
you could be more forward thinking
and
process your way through it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being more proactive instead of reactive? Is that proper?
Yeah, proactive instead of reactive. Absolutely.
Okay.
So famous author Deepak Chopra, who we've mentioned on this show many times before, states in a quote, all great changes are preceded by chaos.
He's not wrong.
Right. And this comes down to in the way that when I work with people, this happens a lot. They don't end up in my office when things are great.
No.
Or when things are perfect and they're happy, because they're not being, at that point, there's no need. They don't feel the pressure or the need to do it.
Right.
People end up, when they get to me, many times they're in crisis because they've run out of things to try and do, and this is their last resort. So, long story short, most people will not change unless they're forced to.
Ooh. And that's difficult to work through.
Mm-hmm.
That's difficult to process because you've had this mantra for so long. Now you have to, something's going on and you don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
And you thought you could handle it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the right way in your mind, but then you're getting that pushback.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would even say it this way. Again, sometimes you're forced to make changes, and sometimes that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes that is just the way things work.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I'll give you a quick example of something that wasn't expected, but at the time, I was majoring in my original plan was I was going to major in education.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened, and I don't remember exactly what it was, something about the program or the channel or the specific requirements for the program I was going through didn't meet criteria for student aid.
Really?
For some reason. This is back in 1987.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I don't remember the specific details.
Darn you, Bush.
So I had to change my major beginning of my junior year. So I was already minoring in psych. So I just flipped it.
And where were you attending?
It was Cornerstone University in Grand Rapids.
In GR. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So long story short, to me, that could have been a crisis. But at the point, I was like, there's nothing I can do.
Right.
I'll just do this and see where I end up. And I liked psych anyway because I was already minoring in it. So it wasn't, it wasn't a life-shattering issue. The other thing is that you're going to have challenges in life. Here's the thing. And I don't want to sound callous or cruel on this. And I will talk with clients like this. People are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be unforeseen circumstances. There are going to be things that come up that you're not ready for. Oh. That's what life is.
Yeah. And I said that at the beginning, welcome to life. But
yep.
It's just, nothing's going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you expect everything to be perfect.
You're always going to be struggling.
You're deluding yourself.
Yep. Right. Yep. So number seven, pursue passions. What do you love to do? What do you just enjoy? What do you like? This is a big thing. I would just based on the population that I see, and again, these are people who have come to therapy, so it's probably not fair to make a generalization, but I probably can, that a majority of people in the workforce are not doing something they love.
You're correct.
And I know you are, Matt, because you've told me you're working in a field that you like doing.
I consider myself a very lucky individual.
Yep.
Because I enjoy my 9-to-5 because I make a difference.
Yep.
And I can see that I make a difference. Mm-hmm. And then my side hustle, if you will.
Uh-huh. You're DJing. Yeah.
Both of them. And the whole podcasting.
Yeah, the podcast, right. Yep.
I'm able to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And if you're able to feel good about yourself to make a difference,
uh-huh.
that's where that passion lies.
Yep. Yep. And again, I love what I do. And many people, I've heard it. Shoot, I heard it from, I went with my wife to a doctor appointment this morning, and I was talking to the doctor, and he says, I'm paraphrasing because I'm not going to be able to quote him, but he said something like, man, how do you work in your field? And I'm like, I enjoy it. And he's like, man, I couldn't do that.
Because you make a difference.
We're right.
You make a positive difference. And it takes time for that difference to come to reality, to fruition.
Sure.
I guess you would.
And sometimes it's just helping people get to where they want to be.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't know where they want to be. And that's what we help with.
So, for example, a couple of weeks ago, I did a seminar around preparing mm-hmm. for home ownership. Right,
because
I do financial wellness.
Yep.
You know,
uh-huh.
I'm out there. I'm talking about how to protect your identities
mm-hmm.
and all that. But we did preparing for home ownership, and right now, whenever you listen to the podcast, whenever, wherever, however, home prices are out of control.
Oh my God, yes.
Right,
if you're selling right now, good for you.
Absolutely. Hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
But every June, every year is considered National Home Ownership Month.
Yep.
And we always concentrate some of our seminars around preparing for home ownership. So I had a class around that. And a younger gentleman starting out in his career, he came through the class, and now he's going through that process to get into his very first home.
Oh, man.
That's called making a difference.
Yes.
Because I was able to give him the knowledge.
And people you might hear that and think, oh, big deal. No, do you know what it's like to get your first home?
Oh.
Can you remember that feeling back when that happened?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm still in it.
I know. I mean, it's just like such a feeling of accomplishment and something that is just so kind of great. It's just, I mean, it's fantastic, you know? So pursue a passion and consider turning that passion into a career. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, do something different. Do something that you're passionate about.
Right, right. Yeah. Go on.
Yep. Number eight, forgo perfectionism. This is a huge one for a lot of people. A lot of people have a hard time not trying to be perfect. They want everything to be specific, exact, and exactly the way they expect it to be. So I'm going to be blunt with you. Perfectionism, perfection does not exist. There's no person in the world who's perfect. No person who's ever going to be perfect. And when you put those perfection expectations on yourself, you're being unfair to yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unfair to you as a person for yourself.
One, nobody is perfect. If you can walk into a room and know that you're not perfect, mm-hmm. you're going to make mistakes.
Yep.
You're gonna come away after the event or wherever you're at, feeling better about yourself because yeah. you know what? You didn't have the expectation of yourself to be perfect. Yep.
And it really is this back and forth internally. And I deal with a lot of clients who struggle with perfectionism. It's like, oh, I feel guilty I didn't do more, or I feel like I should have been better.
I should have spoken up during that meeting.
Or should have something yeah. that you're not good enough. And again, this goes back to embedded thought patterns. It's this movie that you play over and over to yourself that says, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't do it. I'm not smart enough. Whatever it is. And that's, you have to forego perfectionism and say, ask yourself one question. Two questions. Did I do my best and did I give it a full effort?
Right.
If you answer yes to both of those, anything else is beyond your control. That's the only two things that you can control as far as accomplishing something and trying to be as close to perfect as you can, because you're never going to get there. I think that was number eight or
yeah,
nine.
I think
number
that was eight.
Number nine.
Yeah.
Implement the 5-minute rule. Now, when I say the 5-minute rule, I'm not talking about something, you know, the 5-second rule when you drop a piece of food on the ground and eat it.
Okay, you know. Mr. Joey Tribbiani. No, help me understand the 5-minute rule, because Dave, I see a therapist.
Yep.
And it's not
yep.
you.
All okay, right? Right.
And I don't want to commingle yeah. stuff, but he gave me something to move forward with, and uh-huh. it's the 20-minute rule.
Oh, okay.
But I'm curious about the 5-minute rule.
Okay, so the 5-minute rule is when you're looking to implement change, whatever that change is, we only want to work on it for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If you want to work out, let's say somebody wants to work out because they want to lose weight, or they want to eat better, or they want to... maybe they want to learn an instrument. I'm looking at anything out there that you could learn or change. To start with, just do it for 5 minutes.
Just 5 minutes.
If you want to lose weight and you want to work out, I start with my clients. I'm like, listen, tomorrow I want you to spend 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Quit That's after it. 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just do it for 5 minutes.
Push-ups, 5 minutes.
I want you to do 5 minutes every day for the next week. That's it.
Baby steps.
In a week, that's 25 minutes if you do it 5 days a week.
Right. That's baby steps.
Yes. And it's just to get you into the habit of saying, okay, this time is important. It's for me, and it's not overwhelming, and it doesn't make it, because what happens typically with clients is they're like, where am I going to get an hour in the week? I can't fit an hour in. Mm-hmm. I can't work out for 2 hours every day. I can't take time to go out with friends for 4 hours.
Right. You know, I was actually having a conversation with my oldest daughter last night, and
yep.
You know, she went on vacation last week. She's been on vacation the entire month of July. God love her and what she does, because
mm-hmm.
she earns the hell out of it. But she got home and she was like, yeah, I really need to start working out more, because, you know, I did a lot of hiking. I was in
yep.
Kentucky and Tennessee. We did a lot of walking. But she's like, I need to start doing different types of workouts, because she still works out at home. But now she's getting herself up early, and she's made that change, and she's putting herself in that position mentally
yep.
to make that change. And yep. she may not be doing 5 minutes, but she's making that change.
And here's what it does. Because you're not expecting so much of yourself, you're more likely to be successful if you just say, I can do 5 minutes in a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that point, once you have embedded that 5 minutes, now you're changing your whole mindset, because you're like, okay, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add 5 more minutes. And then you just build on it.
Right.
But as soon as you have a taste of success, now you start feeling better.
Yeah.
And you start just adding to that.
Gotcha. Thank you for that.
Number 10.
Here we go. Last one.
Be a mentor.
No, I like that.
Now, people might say, I don't have time for that. I don't want to help somebody else out. Whatever.
Actually, Jamie Flanagan did pop in.
He did,
and
yeah.
He said you could do anything for 5 minutes.
Well, maybe not anything.
What in blazes are you talking about?
I don't know.
Depends. Depends on where it goes.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Yeah, he's listening through a different way, but yeah, he said you could do
anything. Oh, I'm sure, yeah. So again, be a mentor. And what this does a couple of things. One, it lets you teach somebody else something you know, which mm-hmm. makes you feel good. You're yeah. sharing knowledge. You're helping somebody else learn something that you know. The other thing is you're making a connection with somebody else because you're helping them. You're identifying with their passions and what they want.
You're making a difference.
And there's this weird human connection with people who like the things that you like mm-hmm. or want to learn the things that you know.
Whether you be 99 years old or two years old.
Exactly. And I'm going to give you an example. My son's 19, so mm-hmm. he does a lot of computer, especially RPG war sims on mm-hmm. the computer, like mm-hmm. Hearts of Iron. If anybody knows that, I'm familiar with it. But
StarCraft was one of my
favorites. But he's always wanted to tell me, man, look at this battle. And mm-hmm. I've told him this. I'm like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I could care less. I mean, I don't say that out loud, but right. but in my mind, I'm thinking that. And I've told him that. I'm like, you know, sometimes, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. I just don't have any interest in it. But he wants me to be interested because he loves it. Mm-hmm. So now I've told him this. I'm like, dude, I wish I knew more about that, but it looks so complicated to me. That's why I don't feel like I can understand it. Because, right. You'll get it. You'll yeah. get it. So it's just connecting with somebody about their passion. Do you know why? And I've mentioned this on this channel, too. Do you know how many reaction channels there are on YouTube?
Oh, how many?
People reacting for TV shows, video games, movies. Mm-hmm. Because people want to, if they love something, they're like, oh, I want to sit with these people. I want to see mm-hmm. these people love it too.
Right.
There's this connection there.
So
is that part
of the 22 years on Facebook or on yeah, YouTube that you've
that's
watched?
A lot of All it. Right, yeah, a enough. Lot of reaction channels. And you know what I'm stuck on, Matt? You'll know.
What's that?
There are not a lot of them yet. There are probably 10 or 12 maybe people reacting to the Green Mile for the first time.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it is so It is so great to watch people just get emotionally devastated by that movie.
Uh-huh.
The other one is anybody who's watching the Lost series for the first time and seeing them go through step by step that whole series. There's just some connection there, like you're connected on some
uh-huh.
on some other plane.
And there are so many different characters.
Not to make a pun with the plane.
Ba-dum-bum. No, but you're not wrong.
Oh, great Odin's raven!
But there's this connection that you're like, oh man, they're reacting to something I love, and yeah. that's great, mm-hmm. and that just makes that connection. Mm-hmm. So that's what mentoring does. It helps you connect with somebody else who wants to learn from you, and they're interested in what you're interested in, and that makes you feel better. So that is number 10. That's number 10.
Thank you. You know, I know we spent three episodes.
We did.
Going through top 10 things to change your life.
Yep.
But honestly, just doing a couple of these
yes.
items.
Just start with one. Yeah. Just start with one. And we're going to put the 5-minute rule, combine it with one of these other things. Just do something one for 5 minutes. Spend 5 minutes with somebody you want to mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Just start small and know that these things, while some of them might seem unreachable or maybe, I don't know,
unattainable.
Yeah. If you start small and work yourself up to it, the whole point is here that you commit to doing something. And I go back to one of the earlier ones, change your physicality, change your environment, yeah. do something different.
Right.
Do something different. That is the main thing I want you to take out of this.
One of the things that I've taken away from the show is mm-hmm. the small tweak.
Yep.
That very small, yep. it changed something very small. And it becomes bigger and bigger because it's really changing how you're reacting, your environment, those small tweaks.
That's a great point, Matt. And I want to reemphasize this for people out there who have never been to therapy or have never seen a therapist. It is highly unlikely, and I'm going to be brutally honest with you, It's highly unlikely you're going to come in to see a therapist and have a life-changing session in 55 minutes.
Mm-mm.
That's not how it works.
It takes time. It takes dedication. Yes. It takes patience.
It does. Yeah. And it's small steps and small changes that help you get to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mean to be brutal with that, but I would say to clients, I want you to have realistic expectations of what you're going to get out of this.
But sometimes you, as a therapist,
mm-hmm.
as you are,
yep.
you have to sometimes bring that brutal honesty to
the
table.
Well, no, because a lot of times they're not getting that from anyone else.
Right.
And that's the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
You want a therapist who's going to be honest yet compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
Both have to go together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I appreciate what you do.
Absolutely, Matt. I appreciate you.
Thank you,
all right,
sir.
Folks, that is our 10 things that will change your life. 10 strategies, tips, actions, whatever you want to call it, that could change your
yeah,
life.
Absolutely.
So start taking action, folks. And we'll see you next week. Next time we're going to talk about, I actually have an episode set up already.
Look at you. Look at Mr. Prepared
next
over
episode,
here.
We're going to be talking about how to deal with crisis. What happens when crisis happens in your life?
Any type of crisis?
Any type of crisis.
Okay.
You know, maybe it's a loss of a job. Maybe it's a death of a loved one. Maybe
okay.
it's an accident or something tragic happens.
Yeah.
It's you know, how do people deal with crisis and how do they get through these things?
All right. I look forward to that.
Yep. We're going to talk about that next time. So in the meantime, folks, change your thinking, change your life, laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We will see you next time.